from Mark chapter 1, verse 9 and following. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Paul Eckel is a Presbyterian evangelist. The name may sound familiar to you because he joined us in a renewal service in our congregation in the year 2000. He has once pastored at First Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. He grew up in Miami, Florida, and every Sunday that they worshiped there when he was a child, they would sing that song I just shared with you. Spirit of the Living God was written by his pastor at that congregation. Maybe that's why they sung it every Sunday. His name was Daniel Iverson. But when Iverson first penned that song, it began with a different word. Instead of mold me, make me, fill me, use me, Iverson began the song traditionally with this word: break me, mold me, melt me, fill me. Eckel reflected upon that song and said, you know, somewhere along the way, along the journey of church and people of faith singing that song, someone got the notion that we didn't like the words "being broken." So it is with us in our journey of life and family. The thought of being broken, asking God to break us, is not a warm, fuzzy appeal for us as people of faith. If there's any way, in fact, that we can avoid going through the brokenness of life, we want to do that, right? That's our human nature. To avoid being broken. But certainly we can all resonate and understand the imagery of Scripture that speaks of clay being spoiled. And we all can understand that as clay is spoiled, before it can be made beautiful again, it has to be broken. It has to be reshaped and molded into something beautiful. So it is with us. At times in our life, before the beauty of what God has created us to be can be revealed in our life, for us and for the blessing of the world around us, we have to go through a season of brokenness. In our scripture today, we hear these words of wilderness repeated three different times, at least a derivative of the word wilderness, and then the imagery of the wild animals as Jesus faced his temptation in the wilderness. Last week we reflected how after the transfiguration, when Jesus had received the glory of the Father and was on that mountain where they all wished to stay, that he chose to return back into the valley to minister, yes, in the wilderness of life. You see, that's where we meet God. That's the message of our text that can't be lost today, that as Jesus received his baptism, as he heard those words where God the Father said, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased," that as the Spirit drove him out, I've tried to avoid that word. Interpreters of the text have tried to help out Mark in this writing for centuries. But it remains that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness. Whether it was necessary, whether it was an example for us that God is there, we don't know exactly why, but we know that it did happen. Jesus, our Lord, journeyed through the brokenness, the wilderness of life, just as we do. And I don't know about you all, but it's tempting for us to believe that when we're going through the brokenness that God has turned from us. Maybe we feel as though we've displeased God in such a great way that he's turned his favor from us. We certainly wouldn't be the first ones to wrestle with that question. You see, when Mark had written this text, the people Israel and the early Christians were going through the wilderness of their life. They were going through persecution. It was a time in Rome where Nero had become emperor. And Nero assumed the throne at the ripe old age of 16 years old. He did pretty good for the first 5 years when he listened to his advisors. And then he became so smart he could go it all alone, and his reign began to crumble. He began to reign with evil and unruling decisions. In fact, it was during that time that a fire took over and conquered almost 3/4 of Rome. Some believe that Nero himself set the fires to destroy portions of the city so he could rebuild it the way he wanted to. Tension and turmoil and questions rose so much that Nero ultimately needed a scapegoat. He needed to get the pressure off of himself. In stepped the Christians of Rome at that time. Nero made the Christians, the early church, the scapegoat for the fire that destroyed the city. And the Christians began being persecuted. Any who professed their faith were arrested. They were tortured. Sometimes they were strapped with the animal carcasses, and wild dogs would attack them. Wild animals. You see, that is going through Mark's mind as he writes these words today. That as you, early Christians, as he's speaking to his people, are enduring persecution, as you're being attacked by wild animals, may you know that that doesn't mean God has turned from you. In fact, Mark says, our very Lord, the one we worship, Jesus the Christ, went into the wilderness himself and faced the attack of wild animals just as you are. You see, Mark wants to communicate to the people of Israel, to the early church, to the Christian Gentiles, that God has not forsaken them in their brokenness, in their wilderness. So if that's what we know about the brokenness, then why is it there? You know, I remember when Monya and I moved to Corinth, and we had the moving truck come in there the first day. As they pulled into our neighborhood and began getting in our driveway, the truck did something I thought was very unusual. Didn't make sense to me. Instead of just pulling in the driveway, when it would have been much easier, he went beyond the driveway. And he began attempting to back into our driveway. My goodness, it seemed like he had to pull up and back up a dozen times before he ever got the truck in the driveway, backed into the position he wanted. I said to Monya, why didn't he just pull in? It would have been so much easier if he just nosed it in there, straight forward. Why go to all the trouble to back in? In fact, I was so concerned, I even asked him about it. In a nice way, of course. I said, I noticed you backed in instead of pulling in forward. Wouldn't it have been easier to just pull in? He said, well, it would have been easier to get in there, but it wouldn't have been easier to get out of there. He said, I've gotten in positions before that I shouldn't have gotten into. And what I've learned over time is if I begin with backing in, I know I can always get out of whatever circumstance I'm in. I learned a lot about truck navigation and the navigation of life from that little experience. You see, what it said to me is when we make the difficult turns, when we go through the challenging turns of life, much like backing a truck into a tight spot, it's so much easier to continue the journey. It's by going through the brokenness, through the wilderness of our life, surely, that we are strengthened and put on the right path with God our Savior. Surely that's part of Jesus embracing the wilderness, giving to us an example that there will be challenges in our life. We will face times of brokenness, of tough turns, but it's through the challenges and brokenness that He remolds us and makes us more in His image. God also reminds us through the words and life of Jesus that in the wilderness there is also comfort. Did you hear in our text that it was there that Jesus was accompanied and ministered to by the angels and strengthened for His journey? May we as people of faith never forget that when we face the wilderness, the brokenness of life, that our Savior is with us. Whatever wilderness you are in now, I'm convinced and I understand with you, it's not good. We can't embrace it with passion. But I'm reminded that just as the early Christians went through persecution in Rome, that ultimately God transformed that bad that they went to into something good, because they were embraced by the commoners of the city. They were an inspiration to those who saw how they dealt with the persecution. The church exploded there in Rome. And for our Roman Catholic friends, it's still church central to this day. All growing out of the hardships of the church. And certainly we know that as Jesus our Lord embraced the wilderness and the tragedy and betrayal of the cross, as we sang of this morning, that God transformed that into the life-giving love of a Savior for all of us who trust in Him. So friends, whatever wilderness we're in, whatever brokenness that's cast upon us right now, I know it's not good. But may we never forget that just as God transformed good from bad for the first century church, He does the same for us today. For His Scripture tells us there's nothing, no hardship, there's nothing, no brokenness, there's nothing, no wilderness that can separate us from the love of God our Father. For He indeed makes good out of all things.